Welcome to a new episode of Linksploration Bay Area. This time we're off to Brentwood with Tim Jensen and Sarah Duckler of the Contra Costa County Flood Control District. They were kind enough to take Christy and me on a tour of the Three Creeks Restoration Project, where they explained the joys and challenges of trying to bring nature to a suburban creek, where you also want to have a creekside trail, playgrounds, picnic areas, and to protect the sewer lines, all the while making sure the creek doesn't flood. Welcome to Linksploration Bay Area. Climate change. We look at it up, down, and sideways. We follow the links between climate change and so many other issues, and all of it with a local twist. Hi, it's Jean Rosenmeyer, and I'm out here at the Three Creeks Restoration Project with Tim Jensen and Sarah Duckler from Contra Costa Flood Control District. Could you explain to me the concept of this project and what we're trying to achieve?
So the concept for this restoration project is to take Marsh Creek, which was kind of your basic Soil Conservation Service, plain old earthen ditch that was supposed to convey the water away from the farmlands and get it out of the area so we didn't have flooding. And over the last decade or so, this idea was hatched and funded and processed to widen that creek corridor, open up the ditch by creating two floodplain areas on either side of what is, I'm calling it a ditch. It's a creek. So that we would have room both to convey the 1% flow, which we call the 100-year flood, without damaging the surrounding properties. But it also gives more room to put in some plantings for native plants, trees and brush. And that allows a development of habitat, which brings in native plants, animals, and birds. So essentially, it was a partnership to allow more space for the water to flow and vegetation that wouldn't block the water from flowing.
So I'm going to assume you picked this stretch of Marsh Creek because there was land next to it that was available?
Yeah, this area has definitely been in development mode for some time. So there are tracts of land available. There's tracts of land that have been developed into neighborhoods, and it's been ongoing. So I think that's exactly right. This project was kind of grabbed while there still was a chance to do some widening and protect the homes that are being developed as we speak.
Was it ever concreted in? Did we have the basic Southern California? I see Tim shaking his head.
Something I could add from the historical perspective, like Sarah was saying, that this area is slated for housing development, and this area, Brentwood, is one area that grew pretty fast. Yeah. And so fortunately, flood control was able to do some planning early on and reserve some of these corridors, knowing that we would be doing a project like this someday. Probably
really?
In the early 80s, we were actually setting aside land and planning to do this project.
Wow. Unlike the Clayton Drain, where it's kind of boxed in.
Right. Yeah, this is an area that is owned and managed by flood control. And it was originally built by the Soil Conservation Service to help reduce erosion for farmland. So this facility really was partially a flood control channel and partially an erosion reducing channel. So it took some extra effort for us to be able to turn it into what we're seeing today, where it has flood protection for homes and it has the habitat in it.
Question. I only see one creek. What three creeks are we talking about here?
We're talking about Deer Creek and Sand Creek, which roll on into Marsh Creek, which is what we're standing next to right now. So if we head downstream a little bit, we'll see those two confluences as those two creeks join Marsh Creek.
One more question before we set off, which is right here, it's straight as a stick. Was it straightened? Did you try to make it less straight when you were doing the restoration? I know we talked about that when we were over in Concord.
So, yes, unfortunately, the Soil Conservation Service wanted to make the creek as straight as possible. So it didn't like that. So it started eroding and trying to move back to its original location. So the Soil Conservation Service came out and put boulders along the toe of each side to kind of lock it in place. So there really wasn't much opportunity since that time to put more meanders into the creek. It definitely was something that we would like to do, but we just didn't have the room to do it, and the boulders were kind of locking it in place. So we really didn't get deep down into the creek. We did all of our work about 5 feet above the water and up above that. So no work was done below 5 feet above the water line, just left that alone.
So they've got these little mini dams, and that's to slow down the water since we couldn't make it curvy.
That's exactly correct. When you take a creek and take the curves out of it, then the flow line is steeper and it goes faster and it could cause more erosion issues. So the Soil Conservation Service put in these boulder check dams across. So they're about 1 to 2 feet high, go all the way across the creek and cause a nice ripple and waterfall effect there.
And no problem for fish and, you know.
Correct. It's easy for fish to get over those.
Pardon my ignorance. Where does this come out and how far are we from wherever it goes?
Okay, well, I can start at the beginning. So the headwaters of Marsh Creek are up on Mount Diablo, and several little creeks there join together. And then if you're driving along Marsh Creek Road, you'll see Marsh Creek kind of crisscrossing the road a few times. And then it heads down this way and other creeks join it. And then it heads out to Oakley and goes into Big Break right next to the East Bay Regional Parks area.
Big Break?
Yes. It's called Big Break because a section of the San Joaquin River broke through a levee and flooded the area like 100 years ago.
So that's where it ends?
Yes, that's where it ends technically into the San Joaquin River.
Oh. It really ends in the Dutch Slough Restoration Area.
I've heard of that. People say it's great birding.
Yes, the State Department of Water Resources wanted to do a restoration project, and that area was an old dairy farm that was for sale, so the state was able to buy the land, partnered with us in flood control to take over a section of the levee and straight flood control channel and turn it so it would go into the wetland, and the flood control channel could access the wetland and help develop a lot more wetland habitat out there. So it was a good cooperative project. And yeah, the water in Marsh Creek really fans out and goes through the dendritic channels. It's similar to the Lower Walnut Creek Restoration Project, and then eventually does get out to the San Joaquin River.
Has this worked as a flood control?
Well, you can see we're standing and looking down at the creek, and it's two excavated floodplains on either side. So you can see that there's high water marks along the floodplain areas because there's sort of grass and branches and leaves that are washed up against the planted trees on the floodplain. So you can actually look, even though we're kind of in a march and the water's flowing, but it's not flowing really high, you can see how high it got. And it definitely spread out over these new floodplains this last winter, or possibly the winter before, because we had some really high flows a year ago, January. So you can see that it worked. The water flooded out onto the floodplain, but didn't flood out onto the trail. There's no high water marks this high up.
So it did its job. Yay! There's a sewer line underneath us, and that's why we just have very steep banks right here.
Correct.
I see you had to put in riprap here to guard the sewer line, but still pretty
during
cool.
High flows, you can imagine sand creeks coming in.
Oh yeah, and it would just hit right here.
Yeah. Yep. It doesn't look like it now, but these side creeks and these outfalls can act like a fire hose coming in when the flows are really high.
And interestingly enough, on the opposite side, back in the 60s when this was built many years ago, it looked like this in front of us, that, you know, the ugly concrete sticking out, and eventually over time dirt has accumulated and grass can grow on it. So if this doesn't get washed away in heavy winters, dirt and grass will establish and cover this up, so it'll be a little bit.
So it almost naturalized itself over there.
Yes.
a pretty good view here. You've got the playground and you can see the excavation. And then another unique thing about this development that I was learning from Sarah at American Rivers, that they worked with a developer to have the houses facing the creek rather than having their backs to the creek, which really opens up the neighborhood and sort of creates a sense of ownership and community towards the creek. It just changes the flavor of a development from a ditch that's behind my back fence that is a nuisance to really an amenity. So this is a great little section.
What a great point.
And the developer that was, well, I think there was a developer and they went bankrupt, and this is the second developer that came in. Anyway, the first developer that came in with the plans, they were conditioned by the city to do some of this work. And so they talked with American Rivers and decided it was easier for the developer to write a check for $1 million to American Rivers and have them take over the project. So that started this whole thing. American Rivers approached us and said, we have $1 million and we'd like to partner with you on a project. And we started talking about the things that we could do. And we ended up getting several more $1 million in grants and other funding, put our own funding in. And I think the total project cost was around $9 million.
Well, it is what it is. It's a lot of money for a little under a mile, but it is, you know, that's how it goes.
I think more important than the $1 million is the homes that are facing the creek and, you know, integrating the creek into their life.
I think that's a great idea. I'd want to face the creek if I had a house here. How long ago was this completed?
3 years ago, 2021.
Just trying to decide how long it would take to get to the point where birds and animals move back in, which they have started to do, obviously. I see a native bee right there, a bumblebee. That's good news. One of the goals is to get Chinook salmon to come back. At least the website says it is. Is that happening?
Chinook salmon have been seen in this creek, and it spurred the first partnership project we did with American Rivers to build a fish ladder. We have a concrete energy dissipating drop structure downstream from here that is a challenge for fish to get through. So with the fish ladder in place, fish are able to get through. Once that was in place, then we did start seeing more migrating salmon up in these upper reaches.
Steelhead too?
I don't think any steelhead have been seen up here. This project here is, I consider it the third project that we've done on Marsh Creek to do environmental restoration.
Oh yeah, what are the first two?
The first was the fish ladder.
Oh yeah.
Out of our drop structure, and the second was Creekside Park in Oakley. And then this is the third one.
How did you decide what plants to put in? Did you survey what used to be here back in the day?
No, we didn't, but there are a pretty good list of native trees and low-story vegetation, grasses, etc., that are pretty commonly known as natives. The landscape architect that designed this used that planting palette, and they made clusters and different areas with all natives. And what's going to happen is the non-natives are still trying to come up, but someone will be out here with a little bit of herbicide and maybe pulling some weeds to get rid of.
Northern flicker. Just saw a northern flicker over there. There goes a great blue.
Beautiful.
I'm not sure what kind of egret, if it's a snowy or a great egret. Can't tell from here.
California poppies.
And California poppies and lots of
right
mustards. Those mustards aren't native, so are they?
Probably not.
No.
They're reedy. But the trees are coming in, and I can tell when we drove up, I knew we were here because you can see their young trees. They've got so many big, young-looking, sticky growth coming up out of them. They're sort of in their adolescent years right now as they thicken up and create this riparian forest that looks like it's coming in.
What we need are more trees for the beavers.
One of the goals with the large trees was to provide shade for the channel or for the flow of the water, and shoulder water is better for migrating fish.
Right.
And then also providing shade for the trail users.
Yeah, because it gets mighty hot out here in the summer.
That'll provide a respite from the trees. I think sycamore, maybe oak, they grow large enough to be a purchase for raptors.
Yeah. I know, it's kind of a misconception that raptors, they're gliding in the sky and diving. A lot of them sit on top of tall things and look around and wait for something to walk by.
Yeah, and then owls do it at night. Field mouse to run by.
Water engineering is pretty interesting. Sarah was eager to show us a culvert outflow with a duckbill valve. That's a kind of a rubber cap that lets water out, but doesn't let it flow back in.
That black thing there, which is a valve that allows the water to come out but not go back in, so it doesn't end up... Yeah.
I like it because usually you'll see a flap gate on the end of a pipe, which is like a big metal gate
that's on a hinge.
And you'll often see those in weather like this with sticks jammed in them so they don't close all the way. And there's a little bit of a maintenance issue. The hinge will get rusty. So I like this. It seems pretty self-managing. So the water can flow out but not in.
Which probably, Tim was saying, it's because somewhere at the other end the street is lower. So it might flow backwards. That would be a bad thing.
Can you tell the difference between this asphalt here and that asphalt over there? It really looks quite similar.
I can see they're a little different. Yeah. No.
This is conventional asphalt here that the water just runs off of it, will not soak in. This is pervious pavement, so it has enough gaps in it the water will soak in to this and won't run off. So that is better for the environment to recharge the groundwater with the rainwater going soaking through it. Also, less runoff from it is also good because runoff can cause erosion.
Interesting.
This is something that's relatively new and it's been tried over the last 10 years. So it did take some convincing because East Bay Regional Parks manages this trail for them to allow it to be built.
Is it more expensive?
I would say it's probably the same price. The only concern is I think every once in a while you have to wash it off or vacuum it up to get all the fine particles out of it so it doesn't get plugged up.
Oh, okay.
So this whole area over there is slated for housing development or commercial, something like that. So the developer has talked to us and also talked to American Rivers, and when their project goes forward, they're willing to donate a strip of land on their side so that we could widen the creek and have more vegetation and make it look like it does up there with the Three Creeks project.
Which means your Three Creeks Parkway is a success, right? Because they want to emulate it.
Correct.
We've reached the end of the project. It ends where an old wooden railroad bridge crosses the creek.
There's a petroleum pipeline here?
Yes. Every time there's a railroad right away, there's typically an oil pipeline or one or two. The railroads made more money off the oil pipelines than they did off running the railroads.
Wow. This is not active, I assume.
Correct.
Really?
The city of Brentwood asked several times for it to be abandoned, turned over to them or something, but the railroad considered it as a emergency bypass. So if there's a train wreck over there, then they can have trains come on this track to catch up.
Okay, let me just say, this looks like it burned.
Correct.
I'm not that eager to be on a train that's going over this bridge.
Right. Exactly. I'm surprised the railroad leaves it like that, but
maybe it's just surface damage. I don't know.
So yeah, that's the other issue is railroads really don't cooperate with us for flood control projects. So if we wanted to do widening in here, have them move their bridge a different way, the railroad's not going to do it. So we have a beautiful project there, a little ugly 100-foot scar in the middle, and then another beautiful project down there, unless the railroad is able to be removed.
And that's where we'll end this episode. Join us in 3 weeks for another episode of Linksploration Bay Area. Be sure and check out our show notes for photos of the project. Linkspiration Bay Area is an independent podcast. Find, subscribe, and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. Our website is linkspiration.com, where you can listen to our archives, and there's also show notes, photos, and links to our guests. If you have feedback or suggestions for future episodes, please email us at linkspiration@gmail.com. And that's spelled LinksPloration. Look for us on social media, also on Patreon. We are not in this to make money, but we do welcome donations to help with the cost of keeping the podcast on the air. We're Jean and Christy signing off. Until next time, thanks for listening.